Yeah, thanks for coming to the next session. So the last session, actually I never had the last session at a conference, which is better than the first session because we had party yesterday, right? So it's much easier now as it was before. So welcome to the demo session. We are showing some very interesting applications in the field of contact center for Link. And I have some, as in the last session, I have some partners here actually, some great partners that are actually showing the application live. And I'm having actually Comptella here, Interactive Intelligence, MindLink, and Aspect. And basically what we do is we are a smaller group today. So whenever you have questions, you raise up the hand. We have some prizes to give away. I hope you have questions. Otherwise, I have to ship it back to Seattle. So I don't want to do this, right? So every speaker has some time to show the demo. And then we go into some maybe conversations and questions. So it's a very flexible session, OK? Perfect. Well, then let's start. Chris, Interactive Intelligence. Michael. Perfect. There's a clicker somewhere. Or you can click here.
So. All right, thank you. All right, welcome. My name is Michael Schrall. I'm the Senior Director for Global Alliances at Interactive Intelligence. I'm going to go through a little bit about, looks like our slides have some stuff that's not right here, about our solution, which is called CIC, or Customer Interaction Center. Before I do that, though, I want to give you a little bit of an overview about who Interactive Intelligence is. Interactive has been around for quite some time, founded in 1994. First product was released in 97, really has been specializing in contact center solutions for almost 20 years now. We've been working with Link since the early days, actually going back to LCS, OCS, and now have certifications with Link 2010 and 2013. Our integration is focused on really providing our contact center stack on top of Link. And if you look at the solutions and the products that we provide, it really is around enhanced presence visibility. So kind of at a high level, what our solution is that we want to use the power of the Link Enterprise Voice and the power of the entire application suite that Link provides. What we want to do is provide that contact center layer infrastructure or application on top of Link. And in that integration, we do enhanced presence visibility across the different systems. We do contact searching, so within our contact center application, you can view people both in the contact center and outside the enterprise to reach out to experts. And we can also use Link as an endpoint. So all of our phone delivery, all the call delivery will go to those Link endpoints. So we support any Link certified phone, and the solution really, it's agnostic to that of the PBX. So our solution is that kind of overlay. We are a PBX, but really, at the end of the day, what our key is the value of the applications we provide, which are on top of those PBX solutions. Giving a little bit more of an overview, and you're going to see this as part of our demonstration, but user interfaces, we embed the Link application inside of our desktop to provide easy access to doing IM, video, calls, et cetera, with the enterprise. We also, because of layering this on top of Link, you now can light up your Link infrastructure, your Link voice, to provide recording, detailed reporting around your contact centers, many other applications across the WFO suite like workforce management, speech analytics. In that case, we do real-time word spotting. So as you can imagine, a customer says, I want to cancel my account. We can automatically alert a supervisor based on those words or phrases that have been said. This is all done on top of Link's infrastructure. Our solution is validated. We actually are certified for Link 2013 Contact Center. And back in 2010, we were certified for direct SIP connections. So you'll hear two different types of approaches to integration with Link. There's the native approach, which is using Link entirely in its voice infrastructure. Or there's a connected approach, where we're using Link as a way to interact with, which is via SIP or through the mediation server. Our choices, obviously, we went with the connected approach. And I think the key around why we chose that is in the previous slide you saw. some of those differentiated or different types of solutions that require us. So we have our own media stack, and so we provide that value of media richness, of being able to do recording, real-time word spotting, analytics on the call, separating out audio between the different agents, et cetera. The benefits of this is our solution isn't just about calls, neither is Link. We provide multi-channel contact center service that empowers the agents to be able to fulfill better customer service. So as you can imagine, you've all reached into contact centers. You've always talked to somebody, or you talk to somebody and you say, I need help with this, and they put you on hold, or they say, can you hold on a minute? In a lot of cases, they really don't have the answers. And where Link really provides a tremendous amount of value is that ability to reach out to those experts, the ability to get help from others in the organization who may not be part of the contact center. Our solution is an all-in-one, and we're built entirely on the Microsoft stack. Because of that, our integration and solution availability is very simple. As an example, we both integrate. Link integrates into the Active Directory to pull all its users. The Interactive Intelligence, and when we suck out the users and create our contact center users, they're tied directly into those Link users. So when I create a new user in our system, I'm pulling out the information about them, their Link configuration, right into our profile, so that it's real simple to actually deliver calls to them on their Link endpoints. All of this, of course, means lower cost. If you're already implementing Link and you've already got voice deployed, you're really just adding a contact center application on top of that. So I said questions here, but I'm going to move into a demonstration. So I've recorded a demonstration that I want to talk through two different scenarios. And the first one is an agent starting their first day in the contact center. This agent is brand new. They've gone through some basic training, and they're going to utilize Link to help them get through that first day as they are working within the Interactive Intelligence platform. The second scenario that you'll see is one where agents been around a while, but they're really reaching out into the enterprise in different ways on different types of interactions to be able to get assistance that they need. So as we start the first day, I am a brand new agent. My name is Shelley. I'm logging in first time. I have Link open. So logged in first time today, and Sam's my supervisor. I'm going to let Sam know that, hey, I'm ready to go. I'm going to log in. I'm going to start taking interactions. So say, hey, Sam, getting ready to take some calls. Move over to Sam's desktop. We can see, yep, getting ready. Great, Sam says. Let me know if you need any help. You know, first day. So Shelley closes the conversation. She started in Link. She's going to open up what we call the Interaction.net client, which is our agent desktop soft phone that provides the end user's capability, an agent, to handle all media types, calls, emails, web chats. What you'll notice as soon as she logs in, her presence in Link now switched to gone home. What happened was it received that information when she opened up our desktop. Now she is in the contact center application, and we're synchronizing our presence over Link's presence. So those in the enterprise will see that. She's now looking to see in the bottom here the support queue to see if any interactions are waiting, because she's not logged in to really handle any calls yet, and there currently aren't any waiting. She now goes to the statistics tab, and in here you can see she's looking at how many agents are available, what's the number of calls that are waiting, who's available in the queue, et cetera. And now she wants to go ahead and set herself available. I'm ready to take calls. As soon as she sets herself available, you'll see that presence is now synchronized over to Link. One thing I would want to point out there, that's just available. She's not ready for the queue yet, because in our system, you have to actually say, I'm ready for that, and activate. So she goes ahead and says, yep, I'm ready for the queue, activates herself on the support queue, and now her presence changes to available in queue, sending that kind of story out to the enterprise, hey, I'm working, I'm waiting for calls in the queue. Now she's going to get her first call. You'll notice she gets a toast here from Link showing the call. So we're delivering that call via Link Enterprise Voice. She clicks pickup in our client, and that opens up the channel and automatically connects that link audio. You'll notice her presence has now changed to on contact center interaction. Again, we're pushing that presence, and this is around the contact center and the presences that are very different for that and how we're pushing that over to link. The point here around the key about that is that, again, that it was pointing down at the bottom. If you can see, it says Shelley Friedman, link. The station that we're delivering the calls to is that link endpoint. Now, Shelley is handling this first call. She's challenged. She didn't do a very good job listening and training on how to handle this. She wants to reach out to Sam. So you can see on the embedded right-hand side, it's the embedded link client. As well, in the company directory, link-enabled company directory, in the bottom, she can see Sam there as well. See his contact center. So you get the experience of those contact cards throughout the application to get assistance. She can even right-click and start an instant message from within that company directory. She also could have done it from the embedded client from link. She starts that instant message and says, Sam, I'm on my first call. I'm having problems. Can I get some help? So Sam just says, what's the problem? How can I help? And Shelley's pretty uncomfortable leaving this customer, you know, uneasy. So she's, can I call you? I just need to explain. It's too difficult. So she'll reach into the company directory. First, she's going to put the customer call on hold. She's going to call over to Sam. Sam's going to receive that call and link. They're going to discuss the situation. And at this point, Shelley says, well, can I bring you in? I'd like to just get your assistance directly with this customer. And she can simply drag and drop those two interactions together, which will then merge those call paths. Keeping in mind that those call paths for both the endpoint of Sam and Shelley are both link endpoints. Now they're talking, working with the customer, and Sam just says, hey, Shelley, I got this. You can go ahead and drop off. So our solution is this is allowing for a nice warm transfer, and it's done it all on that link infrastructure that's in place. So obviously Shelley's like, yep, I'm out of here. I need to get onto the next call. You'll notice now she now moved into a follow-up status, which is in the contact center. Give me some time before I take another interaction. Again, it's synchronizing that information, that status and presence, to link. So second scenario, find the expert. I don't have all the information. Sam was able to help her in her first call, but Sam can't help on everything. There are people in the enterprise that can help handle situations. So in this case, Shelley's handling an email. So the email has been received by our Interactive Intelligence Universal Queue that processes all different types of interactions. And the email says, I'm looking at this page on your website. Is it the most up-to-date? She goes and looks at it. She's not real sure. This is a page that's managed by marketing. Sam's not going to know that. Nobody in the contact center is going to know that. So she simply uses Link's ability to search for that skill within the organization. She searches for marketing. She finds that Kelly Long is in and available. Here she can actually start a conversation with Kelly. Kelly, I need some help. I want customers asking about this page being updated. So the key here is really it's around first call resolution. I mean, the benefit that you can gain from utilizing Link's ability to interact throughout the enterprise from within the contact center breaks down those walls and silos that are typically created from contact center to enterprise. We can collaborate together, we can reach and communicate, and be able to handle customers' questions more quickly. And really, at the end of the day, first call resolution, while it saves the company money, it's also providing a better customer experience. So in this case, Shelley says, I need to show you this. And now she's showing the screen of what the page she was sitting on. So they can do some advanced or desktop share to look at the page and review the points on the page. So they're going to have a conversation about that, continue to go back and forth and say, yep, we're going to update the page, but here's the information you need now to respond to your customer. So you can see them going back and forth. In this case, Shelley says, I just need to talk to you. So she will then escalate that conversation up into a call. So switching from a desktop share to call and discuss that. Putting the customer on hold, they're having a conversation. She goes back. She then is able to respond to that email. Thanks, Kelly, for her help. And that's it. So really, in summary, the solution around Link is to really allow the find the expert. It's allowed to take advantage of global deployments of Link that we are seeing much more often these days, and really helping to break down the silos that we see where contact centers are typically separated off. We really can move that solution into those areas to provide that excellent customer experience, customer service, and reduce call times, reduce call analysis. Any questions?
Any questions? Please.
Sure. Geographically.
In what way? For the agents?
Yeah, if you're going to assign a ticket to an expert in one building versus another building, one country versus another.
From a solution perspective for the routing side of our solution, we have a full comprehensive ACD routing where you have skills. You can actually do things by location. We had a session yesterday. We talked about one of our joint customers, Bentley. Bentley makes a software for manufacturing, and they have sites around the world. They have two main Link sites, but they have 26 different offices. And as part of their solution, they're providing software where the customers have a preference around language that they speak of, and also they're calling in about a specific product. So the way that we manage that is that when calls come into the contact center originally, is looking into our skills database and saying, okay, this customer, first off, likes to speak in Spanish, so we need to make sure to get a Spanish-speaking agent who has skill in this product. So in kind of reaching out to the expert in that case, in the contact center, that is where we facilitate that. When you're going out into the enterprise, I think that would really come down to how you provide what your solution is with SharePoint and being able to search and find different regional skills based on what you're searching in analytics provide.
Thank you. Okay, thank you very
much,
Michael.
All right.
So, next speaker, Competella Chris.
What?
Oh, did I pronounce it wrong?
Oops. Let's see what your slides say.
Hmm? Okay.
I think you got the intro slide on there. Sure, okay. Well, I'm Chris from Computer Talk. We sent Daniel some slides.
I apologize. After so many sessions, I mixed it up. I apologize.
Yeah, that's okay. All right. Let's see here. Okay, well, I guess we don't have, if there's no intro, so I'll just switch it over to that one, I think. Yep. Okay, perfect. Okay, so I'm Chris from Computer Talk. A little bit about us, Contact Center for Link. We've been doing Contact Center as a whole for about 25 years now, working with Link since about 2005, so before Link was even Link. So we've been at this for a while. I'm actually the chief software architect for Computer Talk, so I'm coming at this more from the engineering side, not from the marketing side. So I don't know, has anybody here actually seen our stuff before, been to our booth on the floor, or seen a demo of this? Okay, if you haven't, great, I'll show it to you. If not, if you have seen any of this before, I'm going to show you some new stuff because I think it's cool. Okay, so when we signed up for this, they said no PowerPoint, but I just got one quick slide here just to show you. I had this in another talk we did with about native contact center for Link and just what that means and what the kind of distinction is there. And so this is just a quick architecture diagram, but where we fit in. Here's all your Link servers, and down here we've got the application servers. And you can see, we're in behind the mediation server. So what we've done is we're really taking a full dependence on Link. Everything routes through Link, everything that, all our media is switching through Link, but what that means is that anything Link can reach, we can reach. Anything that can reach Link can reach us. So It's nice being in there. It means you only have one set of stuff to manage. You have one set of voice threads, one set of dial plans. Any dial rules you want to apply to your users, you can apply to your contact center agents and your contact center itself. So that's really one of the advantages of taking a dependency on that. So I'm going to show you a few things here. First thing is this piece up at the top. This toolbar up at the top is our main agent desktop toolbar. The reason we have that, so I've got an agent logged in right now, and I'm logged in through Link, but we still have that toolbar because there's certain things that contact center agents need to do that you just can't do with the Link client. So for instance, we've got things like contact center specific presence, we've got screen pop, which I'll show you, being able to tag calls with line of business codes, that kind of thing. That's all specific to what a contact center agent might do. That being said, we do have users that are going to run just using a Link client. If we have a user that wants to log in and just stay logged in all the time and maybe get the occasional ACD call, maybe those are your subject matter experts. They can be logged in, they never have to see this. If you want to just run this in the system tray, it'll sit there running in the background, and you never have to see this toolbar dock there. But the nice part about this is I could take something else and maximize it, and I've still got all my line of business applications, all my screen real estate is still taken up by whatever I want to use as an agent, and we just kind of get out of the way and just keep those controls visible and at hand for when you need them. Another thing that we can do using by having this toolbar is just because we're embedded into Link and we're using Link as our transport doesn't mean your agents have to be sitting on Link. Your Link client is great, and a lot of people who have gone full enterprise voice are using agents on Link, but you may still have a PBX, and you may still have some of your users on that PBX. So you could do things like I can go into my profile here, and I can just go say I want to edit and change the roaming this field at the bottom, and this is really just going to be what number do I want to log in as? So that can be my cell phone, PBX line. Again, anything that Link can route to, can log in as an agent. I'm just going to stay logged in on Link for now, but. Okay, so other things, this is giving us a little bit of visibility into stats. There's some aggregation here. There's more I'll show you in a minute on real-time monitoring. But I don't know. What do you want to see first? I'll show you WebChat first. I'll show you WebChat's an interesting one. This is something that's pretty popular. So this page here, the page that I'm on here, is just a demo page. This try demo now thing is. Really, all we're doing here is we're opening a chat window. So this page would be, whatever your customer website is. This is our stuff. So I can just, log in, say start chat. And I was ready, so I'm going to get that right away. I didn't get a chance to go not ready. But what's going to happen is, that's going to get, right now it's being read as straight to an agent. Actually, what you're going to see here is I've got a response form, like the Link client popped up. And actually, it popped into the toolbar. This is something... we've rolled out a little while ago, and it's a way to define. We had a lot of customers asking about this with chat, and they have responses they're going to use all the time. So I can just click in there and say, I've got a response, and I use these responses every single day. I don't want to have to type the same thing over and over. So, as an enterprise, we want to push out. Here's the standard verbiage for X, Y, Z. Just click it, throw it in the chat, and there you go. But I can type back and forth, and it's all well and good. Agent closes that. Again, when I close that Link window, automatically back to ready. So again, if that user was a subject matter expert, not running this toolbar, then we'd still know they're off the session. On the web, got options to do things like email copies of that chat, but I'm just gonna get out of there. Now, the one thing that let's see here, what else can I show you? This is actually some of the new stuff. So what if you want to kind of keep an eye on what's going on? So this. This UI here. There's a couple of pieces I can show you here. This tool right here we call Ice Journal, and this is basically an interaction viewer. So it's something you can use to go in, and I want to see what contacts have what's been going on for the day, and I want details on individual calls. So I can go through and search. This is just everything that's happened today. You can see it. I've got a whole bunch of test calls I've been making, but I can drill in there, see how long the call was, where it was from. If I want to listen to the recording, I can. Play the recording. And another thing that a lot of contact centers are going to want to do is quality monitoring. So in addition to monitoring in real time, you want to go in and evaluate that after the fact. So I can click on here and say I want to evaluate this. Got my media transcript. I can just say how well the agent did on this call. you know, agent attitude, caller attitude, a whole bunch of different types of scores on this. And yeah, if I want to come back to this, you know, I can back out, come back later. This is going to go into an evaluating state now, and I can go, you know, come back and finish my evaluation afterwards. Or I can submit that and then go back and search my reports to see, okay, well, how are my agents doing? How have my supervisors been scoring things? So, and this is a really kind of an exciting thing that we've had this capability for a long time. This is just resurfacing it as a new more modern UI. So, takeaway from this is we're showing voice calls, emails and chats all in the same. All on the same screen there. So we've got transcripts for everything. If I click on that, that should have should be able to find something here with an IM transcript. So I can see the chat that went back and forth. I can search through all this, and basically know what's going on. If I want a higher level, I can go into this tool. Now this is our monitoring tool, and this is what's allowing us to go in and look at the kind of the health of the contact center. So. For example, I can look at this. This is just a couple of graphs that I've got pinned as a dashboard. But if I want to pick an individual queue, let's say, you know, this is just telling me I got a couple people assigned to it, who's logged in. I want to look at my grade of service. You know, let's make that bigger so I can, you know, maybe if I just want to just project this and stick it on the wall, I can see that, individual graph a little bigger. But what's cool about this is actually if you go into this view here, what I like about this is the idea of having these customizable tiles that are actually showing you all the thresholds for this. Let me put a queue on, another web chat in queue. I'll show you how that changes. Just give me a sec here. Okay, so that should pop up and show me that I got a contact over here. And what's going to happen? So you see that went there. That's showing 1 of 10. Now that threshold is something I've gone in and defined. Just because it's a demo system and there's not a lot of traffic on it. But what we've got is actually the ability to go in, and usually what we do is we'll deploy this, and all of the queue statistics, you can see this is a big, you know, complicated mess of settings, but you see this setting, this caption here that says historical largest, and what that's saying is it's saying, you know, we're not going to try and guess what your threshold is going to be. We don't know what a busy queue is for you, but you do. So let's threshold that based on what's happened in the last week. So you can tell, you know, are you on track with where you usually are? Are you busier than normal? Are you less busy than normal? So after about, you know, after a few days of running with the platform, you know, anybody who's on ICE is going to know, okay, well, by looking at this screen, well, how am I doing, you know, relative to how I should normally be doing? And of course, you can go in and set all those to manual if you want, and say, you know, I want to see if I, you know, Tom's saying 10 calls is busy in this queue, but you know, we find that usually, you know, once people see the adaptive stuff, it's they start to like it. I mean, if you want more data on these tiles, you can customize what fields are on there, show as many as you want. You know, and then when I drill in, we're still showing that level of detail. So that's a real quick view of the monitoring tool. Now let's get into the cool stuff. So this is our call flow designer. So that web chat that I went into, actually, that is going through this tool. So this is what we call our workflow designer. It's a tool that we use to develop call flows, routing rules, applications. You know, there's a lot of cool stuff you can do in here. So basically the idea here is this is what happens to any contact that hits our system before it reaches a person, or also defines how it reaches a person. So we don't pretend to know out of the box what your business wants. You guys, you know, anybody who's going to deploy a contact center, you got your own ideas about what you're going to want to do. So what this is doing, what this lets you do is not only build your own applications, but customize your own applications. So maybe you're not going to start with that out of the box. You know, maybe you get our professional services to do it. But being able to come in here and make changes is really pretty easy. I mean, I can drag actions around if I want to drag a new action onto the canvas. I'll show you a couple of ones that I've got in here. So for instance, that instant message. See, first thing I did, I created a URL for ScreenPop. So again, this toolbar is running an engine that I can script when a new call comes in, or if an agent goes not ready, I can run an action. In this case, I'm just screen popping a URL, so I'm building this in the workflow tool here. Receive an instant message if I want to send it. Send a help message back if they type something. Want to look for a particular command? I can just say, okay, does what they typed contain one of these commands? And then I can go off and do something else based on that. If I want to call a web service, there's a lot of you know, a lot of other functionality you can get into. Oh, that's not good. A lot of other functionality you might want to run on that's on other systems. We use this for Dynamics. We use this for some custom stuff that we'd write. If you've got a line of business web service, you know, anything that exposes a WSDL, basically we can call it, we can invoke with this. And as you can see, you know, you're not having to actually write any code for this. We handle that for you. Database actions. You know, again, I'm going in here, pulling data from SQL without having to write the code for it. Actually, one thing I didn't put in there is where am I looking at? Actually, I can make this transactional if I want. So just drag an action over again. I want to, you know, want to go to the database handle I have open, and I can now wrap this entire thing in a transaction if I want. You know, if I want to write a really big application. So this is something that. It comes up a lot. Is, you know, this is a pretty small sample. You know, I've got three media types on one page, but a lot of applications. You know, you're going to have, you know, levels of menus and speech states and other, you know, different pieces of functionality, and you might want to work on those independently. So one thing we can do, a couple of ways we can handle that. You know, I could break these graphs up into multiple pages. So up here, you can see if I go to, you know, go down to this action. If I push 5, I'm going to another page. Just flip over there again. Just another set of actions, so somebody else can be working on that entire branch while I'm over here on the main one. So you can go back, you know, back into here. Another way we can do that is actually having wrapped pieces of functionality. This is a feature we call building blocks, and what that is basically it's a snippet of workflow. You know, I'm defining those up here, and I can say that, you know, I'm defining. You know, defining actually like a function. So anybody who's done any development, you know, if you're basically saying, here's a block of workflow, I'm going to say, here's my inputs to that, and now I never have to look at that again once it's done. I can just drop that into my workflow, reuse that piece of functionality, and, you know, if I've spent a lot of time developing one thing or another, that that'll let me reuse that code. See, what else can I show you that is cool? Any other questions so far? Any questions you want to jump with? Yeah?
You guys have workforce management?
Yep. Yeah, sorry? So workforce management now, full disclosure, we didn't write the workforce management ourselves, but we are white labeling it, so it's embedded there. So what we can use that for is, just basically predicting staffing levels and all that stuff. You know, we've got the detailed CDR. There's a lot of stuff I didn't go into that's kind of table stakes. Like reporting is, you know, we've got about 100 standard reports, you know, full CDR audit, full, you know, contact recording. Like I showed you a bit for email, IM, voice, secure, you know, recording privacy or secure pause or whatever the features are for PCI compliance. Actually, sorry, the one thing I didn't mention, natively multi-tenant. So if you look on here, I can see in the administrator, I've got switch 1, switch 2. The idea of a switch is just a tenant isolation container. So within the platform, every switch is its own database. So the platform works as a single unit, but all the data is isolated. So you can host basically the size of your box. You can host as many individual customers as you want on that. And also on-prem or hosted. So hosted by us, hosted by partners. We got a bunch of partners now that are starting to sign up with a partner program to host ICE in their data centers. These are people who are just they're already hosting Link, or hosting, hosting just ICE with on-prem Link. We can do that as well. Or running ICE against Office 365. So agent accounts who sit on 365. Again, it's a link-to-link call. So federation, you know, any of those. You know, any of those interactions I took, you know, I'm actually not logged into the domain that this ICE server is running on, but I'm just federated with it, so I'm getting all those interactions through federation. So you had a question?
Yeah, just back on the report, you mentioned how many reports come out of it, but I'm just wondering, do you get access to, like, data schema, so you can pull out
other stuff? Because no matter how many standard reports we have, someone always, always, always has something we don't do. There's always something custom you want. So yeah, we'll give people the database schema, and if you want to go into the CDR and dig around, you're welcome to. Yep.
How do you guys, on the infrastructure side, on-prem, how do you handle HA and DR?
Okay, so HADR of the link side is kind of taken care of. So HADR of the ICE side, we support running multiple servers in parallel. So you know, one dies, the other one comes up. So it's a hot standby active standby model. Yep. So when I go into the administrator here, like I'll show you what the this is where you define all your users and such. But when you create a user, we can define what their connection address is, and the connection address is just when we reach out to an agent. Okay. So when we reach out to an agent, the way that it works is that we place a call to the agent and then get a two-way call going, and then we just elevate that into the contact center call. So we make sure we get them off hook first. So again, if it's readable through link, it's one of those nice things about using that back end is it just works.
Thank you, Chris.
You're welcome.
Absolutely. And again, we will share the contact details. When you download the slide deck, you will see from every speaker also the contact details, email address. So more than happy to contact Chris from Computer Talk if you have any further questions. Okay, let's go to the next speaker, Bill. So.
Hello. Test. Oh, good.
Perfect.
Shall I move closer?
No, that's fine.
I'll look in.
Just a second here.
Sure.
Yeah, the beauty about going after others like interactive intelligence and the AI stuff. Oops, I better turn this on. We do a lot of the same stuff, right? From a call center perspective, I'll just be blind. And I'm technically not the call center guy anymore, but I have a very long history in a call center. I'm gonna show you a few different things probably than what we had. Although I'm highly interested in speaking to content. That we have. So Aspect's been in the business of contact centers for decades, literally. We talked about this in a couple of other sessions, but we've acquired a fair number of companies over the years, and as a lot of people have, and that make up basically, everything that we're able to do and capable of. And we actually invented the call center industry in 1973 for Continental Airlines, and that's kind of a fun stat. I know I've got two things I can keep going back and forth here. This, though, is kind of the overview. This is what all we do. We basically, any kind of transaction that you can cook up, we can take care of, we can handle and process. Wow, I've got this on some kind of automatic thing, don't I? So my apologies for that. I'll just let it keep going. Within the contact center, so we're able to take care of, wow, that is pretty funny. I swear I didn't set this up this way. But I can roll with it. So, you mentioned earlier workforce management. We acquired a workforce management product in like 1998. We were able to take care of all the workforce optimization components. We have what we call our interaction enablement, which is, we can take care of SMSs, chats. This is our engine, very similar to interactive intelligence. We have a connected type of conversation between us and Link. So as you can see here on the bottom, the integration to Microsoft Link. We also have taken, because we own services, we also are integrated to SharePoint, Dynamics CRM, all kinds of things. And we can basically take any kind of modality inbound, and we can also do outbound and outbound proactive management, proactive notification, such as through SMS and others. Thanks for managing this for me. Our platform is basically a workforce. A platform for managing contacts of whatever type they are, right? Through some sort of workflow and some sort of process, right? Calls come in, calls go out. We manage all of those things, and we're able to record it. We're able to take care of all those transactions. We're very, very good at reporting. And we've got literally hundreds of ways for you to use our canned reports. We give you the ability to create your own reports through whatever tool you choose. We have real-time reporting and canvases that we also allow you to create. And it's not, you know, deep programming stuff. It's drag and drop boxes into how things work and what do you want to see in your real-time screen. So we've been doing this for really a long time. Let me switch over to, since this is rolling a lot, let me switch over to my piece. I'm going to go through a few different, hopefully interesting concepts. I'm not going to get into, I'm going to get into a couple of different things, and I did go ahead and log in. This is, hopefully you can see this, right? And it looks like my IT wants to install some software. My bad. Always during a presentation, right? So this is the idea of our client. We do things a little differently when we terms in integration with the link piece. So this is our agent desktop, right? And it's actually configurable. You can have this several different looks and feel and the way that you want to work as an agent to be able to take calls, make calls. But one thing that is a little bit different about us, potentially what you've heard so far, is that we believe in managing the agent, right? We assign skills, and this is because we do a lot of business with very high volume, very big transactions, like people like Bank of America, Discover. They use our technology, some of the airlines. So we're very much focused on helping the agent do the best they can in the fastest amount of time possible, right? That's what, really, from an agent perspective. And we're used to dealing with what they call a surplus of calls or a surplus of transactions. So you've got more transactions waiting for you than you have actual agents to answer. Now, we do the best we can with our workforce management product to get the right number of agents scheduled to the right amount of things. But the overall arching thing is that a call center agent is a resource. It's usually an expensive resource for your company. And we're doing stuff to maximize their productivity, right? So everything we do and everything we color around this is to do those things. So I'm going to actually walk through just a very simple inbound type of conversation. We get a call that comes in. We work it through. We're having a conversation. We collect information from your IVR or from the cloud or from whatever entered information that we get. Could be their telephone number. We're dipping into a database in the back end. This is all stuff that happens before I get a call as an agent, right? And then when I'm in available state, I get some information, right? This is the pop-up that we have. It's part of our tool. It actually has what information is there. I help and service the transaction. But let's say, I'm going to kind of move to an expert idea. Let's say I get stuck. This is where we're going to invoke. And by the way, I can have a link. You can see the link client down here. Potentially it could be there. It could be hidden. It could be wrapped inside the agent desktop so that I have a SIP connection, but that's basically the voice piece. But now I need to extend the reach into the back office. So again, being able to pull in somebody to help me, whether I know who they are, in this case, I'm going to ask for an expert. So again, this is a little different. We're asking for, I need an expert to help me with something, right? And this is managed for the agent. So whether it's a new loan in this case, or risk management, maybe a specific skill, but I'm picking the group instead of a person, that's going to bring me back some people that I can choose from potentially. And we also schedule these things too. So like if you're an expert in an organization and you've been designated as a person who can help, in this case, with investment banking questions, then I'm going to get something on my calendar from our workforce management piece that says, you're scheduled from 2 to 4 today, and I just be aware you may be getting reached from people in our contact center. And then another thing that we do is we're pulling back the longest available person on IM, but we try not to use the same person over and over so we don't burn them out and they don't want to be an expert anymore. So we're doing our best in the background to manage all this for the agents so they don't have to worry about it. The next piece then is I'm going to go in and select the person who's available that I have exposure to. It could be 1, 2, or 3 or however many you want to display. We control that too. We limit it down to 1 generally. Hey, can you help me? You know, check this out, you know, sure, I can do that, let me take a look, right? So there's information back and forth between the expert, it's in underwriting, you know, it's scheduled to be processed Wednesday. So this is all happening in IM that I could have, I get the information I need. This saves on first call resolution, so I don't have to hopefully call that customer back because I was able to get to an expert. So I could also, by the way, just as easily bring him, Gordon Gekko, right, into the call. I could have a conference call. Yes, it's Gordon. It's not actually him. I don't know who that person is, but I did like the Yoda a lot, by the way. But I could bring them in. We could have a conversation, right, again, using the SIP conferencing connection that takes place. That's it. I got the information I needed. I've answered the question. I've hung up the call. Now I'm in an after-call work state, and I have to choose, again, we're forcing the issue on these things. Before I can move on, I need to choose, what was the call about? What did they need? Which could be, by the way, a callback, since we have the outbound capabilities built directly into our contact center. So, okay, got what I needed to do, great. I'm going to walk through a very brief kind of chat type of idea. This, again, is on a banking page. We seem to really like financial services here at Aspect. So within the web page, this is something that a customer would visit, right? I want to do a conversation, an email, whatever those particular things are. Actually, let me start that over. I want to do the IM piece. So instant messaging. I initiate a conversation. I don't need Link to do this on the customer side. It's just a web part that we've built and put on a web page. It could be any web page, frankly. I take that information, I collect what I need to in order to service the customer, and then as the customer, I just start the information. And then I'm waiting in queue. I could get some attention retainers come back, which may be, hey, you know, did you think about getting frequently asked questions answered over here? Or did you know we have a great rate on this thing? It could be whatever you want. It could be very interactive while you're waiting in queue for the next type of person, right? So the information back and forth. I'm going to switch over to the agent side. You can see they had a pop-up with instant messaging. It says, hey, you got a chat. It put them in a busy state on their the client that they're being managed from with our contact center. Hey, has my stuff been approved? I can type in some information here. Let me check on that. And let me check on that. Then I can actually take some information, go into maybe another servicing piece, whether it's a knowledge base. In this particular instance, we're using a portal that we have this type of information stored on. So I take this information back, I get whatever I need to, and basically answer back to the customer, give them the information they need, and move on with life, right? So I do want to focus from here on something else that's fairly interesting that we've been spending some time on. And that's the idea around, now this is actually in real time here, so hopefully it's going to work good for me. This is the idea around agent portals. So this is, we find in a lot of information that needs to be digested by agents, right, and taken care of and tracked. This is actually something we created internally at Aspect for our people who service our contact center questions. So we have what's called the Aspect Technical Services group that comes in. It's all loading, takes just a second once it actually gets going. This is all built in SharePoint. So this is a portal that we created. It's going to have dashboards, so I can see information about things in queue in real time. This is where we intend people to spend most of their time, in other words, in this particular instance, is like in SharePoint. So I could actually expand stuff. I could see some metrics that are going on today. Not a lot happening here, it looks like, for this particular system. You can access multiple systems, multiple locations from this. You can have a combined view. Again, me, I haven't done anything today. I'm kind of a loser when it comes to an agent piece, but it provides me the information about my own personal statistics, which I can get into. What's my average handle time? What's my sign-on? All those kind of things. Another thing that's fun, because I am logged into Link, I can go and it pulls up the contact card for people on different teams. So this is the idea of I can extend and reach out to other team members to get some help with some things I might be doing. Another way to do kind of the extend into the back office and get experts. From here, I could directly do, an instant message to Paula. Hey, Paula, I've got a question. Can you help me answer something? Whatever those things are. I can also change the different teams that I'm viewing or what I'm part of. Since I'm logged in kind of as a manager, I have access to a lot of stuff. This is all based on Active Directory and policies and whatever I have set for me as a person logging into the system, so I'm going to have different stuff. Another thing that's really fun is the announcements over here on this side. People post stuff all the time. This probably needs to be a little bit refreshed, but the idea of people can post information, things that are happening within the call center. I can also directly from here reach those people through my piece. I'm going to go to the dashboards. That's going to take a second to load as well. But the dashboards, again, things that are happening, not just call center related statistics. In this case, we have case management system loading into here. So this is a BI tool, right, fed into SharePoint as the servicing piece that allows us to do all kinds of interesting stuff. And I also get the product forums, which is more like the knowledge base. But here, you know, again, this is a very SharePoint 2013, hopefully, look and feel, be able to look at different information, you know, what it is. If you don't know what it is, hover over it, it'll tell you those things. So I want to know about service level potentially today, do some analysis. But in this case, this is customer satisfaction, could be based on what I'm capturing from the customers at the end of the call. I can feed that directly into here. Could be post-call surveys that we do later on that we're feeding into here. It's all BI, it's all metrics to give me what I need. And then you can actually drill down into these pieces as well, because this is all a BI application to get you different stuff, right? So within here, then again, all the different metrics that I've got access to as through my login. I'm gonna go back to the home page and look at the last piece here. I don't know if it's gonna come up. And I'm gonna go to the product forums. I could also manage all my cases here, because we use Amdocs for ours, or what is that, Remedy now? But that basically is, that's loaded all that information and ticket management all within a SharePoint skin, right, for me to be able to do those things. And then in here, we also have knowledge. This is all of the products that we support within Aspect. So we've got some older products, which is called Signature, which is nice. Reporting pieces, workforce optimization, back office stuff that we get into. I'm going to click on Unified IP. That's our contact center product. So I can go within here into the forum. We've got 90 discussions happening, 130 replies. I can see who. We do gamification on this as well, so we can see, you know, I've got the moderator and the top answerers. So when they answer a question, that's pretty cool. So this is all tied in together, again, to our contact center and statistics and metrics. I can check out and do searches, of course, within here and look for specific answers that I need to get help on a question that I got from a customer. I'm going through a lot of information, aren't I? So, but this just gives you an idea, again, and it's all, you know, it's all using the Microsoft stack, Microsoft technology to get into all this different stuff. So within here, you can see how to decrease abandonment rate, how to do those other things. Last piece, this is an actual customer site. We do actually have this working out somewhere out in the ether. This is somebody who actually has our contact center equipment, and they have Link. They're on Link 2013. This is using, again, the chat piece that I showed you earlier. This is actually in real time on a real customer site. This allows me to check if people are online or offline. I'm using presence to make that determination. This could have been done actually on the first page. For some reason, we have this on a second page for them. I collect, this looks familiar, right? I collect the information that I'm needing to get from them, and then I start a chat. It tells me, you know, hold on for a second. It gets me to an agent. I can ask, hey, what's your interest rates today on a 10-year, you know, CD type of thing, or what's your interest on a car note? I get that information back and have that real-time conversation, again, using Link and our contact center to route those contacts through our technology to the right skilled agent who can answer and help with those things. Again, taking all this information that I possibly want to collect up front, using that to my advantage to get to the right person in the contact in the back end. Okay, so I've talked for a bit. Want to take any questions, anything you guys might have as I
any
wrap
questions?
This up? Yes. So I think we still get a lot of calls. I mean, that is by far the majority of what we get. Chat can be influenced somewhat based on, you know, if we're doing some kind of proactive, hey, do you want to chat on a web page, right? We have seen upticks in those things. But generally speaking, chat is still a very small percentage of what we do. Although I like chat personally, because I don't like talking to people. I know I'm a call center guy, but generally speaking, I'd say that the total transactions for people who have enabled chat or IM type of routing it's probably less than 5% of the transactions that we see. Right now, what changes though is different, like internal. So if we do like internal help desk queues or stuff where we're trying to escalate to different parts of the business, that's a lot more hits, right? So we see a lot more chats initiated from those type of things, you know, or, you know, I haven't talked about federation, but anything where we're encouraging, you know, inter-office type of conversations and not external, that seems to be a much higher pickup rate, right? Mm-hmm. Excellent question, though, I mean, about yes. Market. Yes, sir. Sure. So we do support virtual servers, whether Hyper-V for Microsoft or VM, if that's what you have in your infrastructure. So we do support our servers when they're on-prem for virtualization. I did not talk at all about, you know, we have a new cloud-based product coming out as well, which we have infrastructure as well. So we purchased a company about, I don't know, 6 or 8 months ago called Voxeo. They have a whole cloud infrastructure and IVR in a cloud. We are porting and putting contact center on their infrastructure, and it's actually going to be like at the end of this month. But to your question specifically, yes, it can be virtualized. And we do run on common Microsoft equipment. It's SQL Server in the background, you know, those kind of looks and feel just like Link in a lot of ways.
Any other questions?
Yes.
Where you showed you know, contacting like a back office user.
Yeah.
Doing the back office users don't need to have licenses for the actual.
That's correct. Product. Just Link, right? It's just a Link UCMA connection between us and the Link infrastructure.
All right, that's cool. And then, like, does that all go into reporting as well?
Yeah. So we know how Occupy we used XYZ versus another person versus this queue versus that. And by the way, we set up all those transactions like a skill for agents. We're setting up skills inside our infrastructure using AD. So we're going to say, you know, you are this expert, and we're pulling that information in from Active Directory. And then we do other things, like I mentioned earlier, about we're going to push out a schedule so that you know you're reserved from what time to what time as that expert, right? So, yeah.
Thanks, Bill.
Okay, thank you.
So, for the next speaker, Peter from MindLink. So let me tell you a little bit of a story before.
You have a story.
Uh-oh.
I have a story, yeah.
Did you catch me doing something last night?
I'm just kidding. So from the Microsoft side, right? So in my first session this morning, I talked about how we are using different applications, different partner applications, and also Link in our contact center. I talked about a specific example where we talked about persistent chat and how persistent chat can help to build communities between agents, how we can actually shorten down the time to connect the right people in a contact center with persistent chat and even with a customer-facing chat to actually enable the communication. So MindLink is actually one of our partners for persistent chat. It's a slightly different I would say angle of contact center and how we use it, and you will hear more about MindLink and persistent chat and compliance security from Peter.
Sure, absolutely. So I don't have a demo, and this should be fairly quick, but so we are a company that's focused exclusively on persistent chat or group chat with Microsoft Link, and we provide, you know, a series of software solutions, you know, for this internal collaboration tool that is a really powerful part of Microsoft Link. And we provide UIs, web-based UI, for people who want to, you know, extend persistent chat to users that don't necessarily want to use the Microsoft experience or have Macs or have Linux devices. We also have mobility solutions for BlackBerry, for iOS. We're working on Android as well. We're having discussions about Windows mobile clients. So we essentially extend the value and fill in the gaps for Microsoft's persistent chat technology. And so, if you haven't seen the persistent chat in use, I don't actually have a demo over here. We're talking more about the compliance piece. Essentially, it's basically team-based chat rooms and collaboration where, you know, customers or end users would essentially, you know, bring their teams into rooms instead of sending a reply to all emails, instead of collaborating, you know, in different ways. They'll all join chat rooms. They'll do things for incident management. We do it based on customers, we do it based on products, internal sales team discussions, and things like that. So we are the sort of the de facto choice of partners if you have to do anything with persistent chat beyond the Microsoft provided solutions. So
maybe one thing, right? So if you're interested in how it looks like. Well, it's in the previous slot that we had at 9 o'clock. So you can download the slides after the conference. You will actually see an example on how we use this technology in our own Xbox business to actually, I would say, optimize a specific process that we had between agents and supervisors, and actually to handle a better time for this case actually with persistent chat, and how we used actually MindLink as well inside Microsoft. So you can find the content. Please download the slides. Yeah.
Right. So it can be used for teams who want to essentially collaborate. So product teams. So in the product, the Xbox experience, people will ask questions within these rooms, and then maybe product managers or experts will answer the questions within the rooms, and it becomes part of a history. It becomes part of a log, and people can go back and make it searchable as well. So is there any? Is there a? Okay. So as part of our customer base, we have a lot of financial services customers, and they're highly compliant. They want to make sure that all their IM messages and persistent chat messages go off to a non-repudiation store, so they're searchable and they're archived, and all that data stays in a place that's very secure. So what we did is we created a really straightforward tool that essentially exports data from the link archive into a non-repudiation store of your choice. And it's really straightforward. Essentially, it goes in and looks at conversations that happen over a period of time, forwards them off to a non-repudiation store, and it essentially is an exporter tool that goes into any of the sort of the higher end or the very typical used databases. So it's pretty modifiable. It's very straightforward. So a lot of our customers in the financial services space use this, and but we're finding is that persistent chat is branching out into other verticals as well. So energy is a pretty big vertical for us, working with a lot of customers in the pharmaceutical space, software developers, and things like that. So we're headquartered in London. I'm located in the U.S. I cover North America market, and I think that's really about it. So if you have persistent chat questions or compliance questions, we're glad to answer that. Or the booth will be open for a little bit more downstairs.
For more information, or if I want to see the application itself, right? So what is the URL?
So we do a lot of live demos for customers. So if you wanted to have a demo, our website's mindlinksoft.com. I can do a live demo with you, next week after the conference.
And you said before you have actually mobile clients for almost every platform right now, right?
Right. So we've got iOS, and we've got iPhone and iPad. We've got a BlackBerry 10 client, which we just wrote. It's very secure. We've got BlackBerry 7, the prior version, and we're working on an Android client as well. And we're having discussions about the Windows Mobile 8 client.
Maybe one more question from my side. Actually, I don't get prizes for questions, so unfortunately. How do you deal with social networking? That means if I'm a customer, for example, in Facebook and I have questions about a certain topic, can you actually capture those kind of information out of the social network and put it maybe to an agent that uses the application?
Yeah, that's not an integration that we've done so far in terms of Facebook integration. Ben, have we come across that? Are we working on anything in terms of?
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pulling the database.
Something for the roadmap.
Yeah. So a lot of, the other part of our business is a bespoke software business. So if you have things that you want to do that are very specific to persistent chat, we can be outsourced for something like that.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks.
Please.
I guess it's more of a persistent chat question.
Yeah.
In terms of number of people that could be subscribed to a persistent chat, is there some type of limitation?
To a room?
Yeah.
I think it's 16,000 users, isn't that
yes.
correct?
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of people in a chat room. I mean, you can assign people certain rights within the room. So you can say you can just view only,
yeah.
Or you can participate and view.
What is the biggest persistent chat that you had in your business with your customers?
Well, one of our customers has 30,000 users on persistent chat. They have 3,000 bots that they wrote to drive data into the rooms, and they're in the financial services industry. So they drive data like market industry data in there, trading data, thousands of different types of pieces of information where the traders use, gain a competitive advantage. And we have a lot of our financial services customers will embed chat rooms on the trader screens, and so they'll share information back and forth. And we're seeing a trend with a lot of our financial services customers want to have compliant chat instead of sort of the out of the box. I've got traders on Yahoo or AIM or other third-party chats. They want to bring everything into Link,
make it all compliant. And they also want to have these persistent chat rooms as well. So we're getting a lot of interest for that.
Any other questions? So for the download of this slide deck, we will include some screenshots, of course. And if you're interested, then just get engaged with Peter. Well, thank you very much for all the questions, for your attention. Thanks for all the speakers, of course, right? And for the interesting content. And if you have any questions, you can also shoot me. Oops, perfect, yellow alert. you can actually shoot me an email as well. That's basically about all the contacts and the topics or everything that you heard at the Link conference. So my email address is davalik at microsoft.com. You can find me on LinkedIn, Facebook, whatever. And yeah, hope to see you again at the next conference, at the next Link conference, or next Link event, hopefully, right? Thank you very much.